Can you already feel it? An abundance of spiritual light is coming your way during this summer solstice. Kan jij het al voelen? Een overvloed van spiritueel licht is naar jou aan het komen gedurende deze zonnewende. Zomerzonnewende. Gently, softly, allow that your third eye center is opening itself for you. Zeer zachtjes en rustig aan, laat toe dat je derde oogcentrum zich opent voor jou. As a flower in the early morning, when it is being touched by the first rays of the sun, als een bloem in de vroege ochtend, wanneer ze wordt aangeraakt door de eerste stralen van de zon, all of a sudden you are seeing a temple of light and love. And you are invited to go in. Plots zie jij een tempel van licht en liefde. En jij wordt uitgenodigd om naar binnen te gaan. There is a soothing quality of light in here. And it immediately relaxes your whole nervous system. Er is een kalmerende kwaliteit van het licht hier. En het ontspant onmiddellijk jouw gehele zenuwstelsel. You find yourself an easy seat and you allow yourself to fall into a deep meditation. Je vindt een gemakkelijk zitje en je laat jezelf toe om in een diepe meditatie te komen. Now you become aware that your crown chakra is being opened. Nu word jij ervan bewust dat jouw kruinchakra wordt geopend. Crown chakra, corona. Crown chakra, corona. Sometimes this can be very exquisite. Soms kan dit zeer verrukkelijk zijn. Your crown chakra, your third eye center, are now in perfect harmony. Jouw kruin en je derde oogcentrum zijn nu in volmaakte harmonie. New codes of light are given to you and are being opened for you. Nieuwe codes van licht worden aan jou gegeven en worden voor jou opengemaakt. not just for your crown and your third eye center, also for your heart, your solar plexus, your sexual center, your sacrum, and for the chakras in your hands and your feet. Niet enkel voor je kruin en je derde oog, maar ook voor je hart, je zonnevlecht, je seksuele centrum, je heilige been en voor de chakras in je handen en in je voeten. Now you are being transported to a crystal chamber in this temple of light and love. Nu word jij getransporteerd naar een kristallen kamer in deze tempel van licht en liefde. You are hearing some sounds that are absolutely perfect for you. Je kan een aantal klanken horen die helemaal perfect zijn voor jou. You are also seeing many colors, some of which you have never seen before. Je ziet ook heel veel kleuren en sommige ervan heb jij nog nooit gezien. At the same time, an amazing flow of healing energy is rushing through you. Tegelijkertijd is er een verbazingwekkende stroom van genezingsenergie die zich doorheen jou stort. You have never felt so alive and so awake. Nooit eerder heb jij jezelf zo vol leven gevoeld en zo ontwaakt. In order to integrate all this, angelic beings are caressing you and massaging you, opdat je dit alles zou kunnen integreren, zijn er engelachtige wezens die jou aan het strelen en aan het masseren zijn. You are experiencing a new relationship with the earth and with the cosmos. Je bent een nieuwe relatie aan het ervaren met de aarde en met de kosmos. More authentic. Meer authentiek. Also with your physical body. Your breathing has become more natural, more organic, and very peaceful. Ook met je fysische lichaam. Jouw ademhaling is meer natuurlijk geworden, meer organisch en zeer vredevol. You also know that in this moment, in the collective consciousness, deep healing is taking place of many wounds from the past. Jij weet ook dat er op dit ogenblik, in het collectieve bewuste, dat er diepe genezing aan het gebeuren is van vele wonden van het verleden. It is part of your journey and also part of your contribution. Het is een onderdeel van jouw tocht en ook van jouw bijdrage. As you are opening to the light, there is more light to go around. Terwijl jij je opent tot het licht, komt er meer en meer licht beschikbaar. There is no doubt that you will find your way. Er is geen twijfel dat jij je weg zal vinden. A good way is to listen to the wisdom of your heart. Een goede weg is te luisteren naar de wijsheid van je hart. Sitting in the fullness of the light, on a day like this, gives tremendous power to your noble intentions. Mediteren in de volheid van het licht, op een dag als vandaag, geeft een geweldige kracht aan al jouw nobele intenties en aspiraties. There is a story about Dr. Mikao Usui, the founder of Reiki, that he was looking for the people of the light. Er bestaat een verhaal over Dr. Mikao Usui, de stichter van Reiki, dat hij aan het zoeken was naar de mensen van het licht. This light can take multiple shapes and forms. You are one of them. Dit licht kan vele vormen en gedaantes aannemen. Jij bent er één van. So now I would take you in the chambers or the petals, the meditation rooms around the Matri Mandir. And some of us have been there, and you may remember there are 12 of them, and the first 8 of them reflect our attitudes towards the divine. En dus misschien weet je nog wel, er zijn 12 meditatieruimtes, allemaal in een verschillende kleur, die destijds door Aurobindo aan de moeder werden gegeven. Het zijn ook aspecten van de goddelijke moeder. En de eerste 8 reflecteren onze houdingen naar het goddelijke toe. En dan de last 4 are for our attitudes towards humanity. So let's sit in the first petal, and that one is dedicated to sincerity, eerlijkheid. Sincerity, eerlijkheid. The second meditation room, humility, nederigheid, humility, nederigheid. Third one, gratitude, dankbaarheid, gratitude, dankbaarheid. The fourth one, perseverance, doorzettingsvermogen. Perseverance, doorzettingsvermogen. The fifth one, aspiration, aspiratie, aspiration, aspiratie. And then receptivity, ontvankelijkheid. Receptivity, ontvankelijkheid. Number 7, progress, vooruitgang. Progress, vooruitgang. Number 8, courage, moed. Courage, moed. And now the 4 meditation places for our attitudes towards humanity. The first one is goodness, goedheid, goodness, goedheid. Generosity, vrijgevigheid, generosity, vrijgevigheid. Equality. Gelijkheid. Equality. Gelijkheid. And then the last one, peace, vrede, peace, vrede. So while we stay in that space, terwijl we in deze ruimte blijven, Cathy will say from Eckhart Tolle, from the new earth, something that connects.
I'm trying to think how long ago it was that Frank and I used to go to retreats with Eckhart Tolle. It may be more than 20, 22 years ago. But we went to a number of retreats before it became evident that he was becoming a world teacher. And he stopped giving small retreats, well, relatively small, only 100 people or so, in order to write a book called A New Earth. So he had written The Power of Now, which became a bestseller, and everyone loved, and Oprah Winfrey made him quite popular by bringing him on her show. And there they went through the beginnings of the entryways to peace. And so when his new book came out, you know, one of my favorite things to do is to read the last chapter in any book before I buy it. I'm just weird that way. I always want to know how it ends, right? And so here's the book, A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, published in 2005. So that's a good 15 years ago. And one of the things about Eckhart that made him, he was just an astonishing person. When you meet him live, the room is filled with a presence. And he acknowledged, as other teachers had not, that this is a period of great awakening for everyone. And this was the first time that ordinary people could sit with him and hear that they had the potential for awakening, and they didn't have to go and sit in the mountains in India for the rest of their lives doing yogic practices in order to do that. So in the book, A New Earth and Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, in the last chapter, which I happened to pick up after 15 years, he talks about the macrocosm of consciousness and creation and the microcosm, which is within us. And he starts by talking about the Big Bang theory. And recently, scientists have validated that the Big Bang was indeed the theory that brought the creation of the universe. And they have ways of validating this through particle study and waveform study, and so on. But the Big Bang theory was originally posited by ancient texts. The Bhagavad Gita and many other ancient texts have talked about the origins of creation. And so he says that there are two movements in the universe. One is moving out, as we do in Nada Brahma, and the other is moving in, which is to say that everything that is created will eventually return to the source at some time. And so he says, if you look within rather than only without, you discover that you have an inner and an outer purpose. And since you are a microcosmic reflection of the macrocosm, it follows that the universe too has an inner and an outer purpose that is not separate from yours. So if we think about it, there is nothing that we do in this life that is separate from life itself. We have the illusion that what we do is independent of life and the universe, but it isn't true. And we know this. And so here we have the usual pattern of life, which goes like this. We're born, we live, we flourish, we diminish, and we die. And where in that process is awakening? You know, if it's a natural process of life, where in that process is awakening? He says, each person's life, each life form, in fact, represents a world, a unique way in which the universe experiences itself. And when your form dissolves, a world comes to an end, one of countless worlds. So our dance is coming into creation, awakening, and returning to the source. It's ancient, but we've known it. He says, the return movement in a person's life, the weakening or dissolution of form, whether through old age, illness, disability, loss, some kind of personal tragedy, carries great potential for spiritual awakening, the disidentification of consciousness from form. So many people can't think about the idea that their world might be diminished in some way, but it does happen to all of us. We have all had devastating experiences and have had extreme losses. And in those experiences have also had the feeling that form matters less than the essence of who we are. Form matters less than spirit. So there is an ancient recognition in old cultures, an intuitive understanding of the process. And that is why old people are respected and revered, because there's a certain wisdom in the surrender to the dissolution of our bodies and our minds and the acceptance that we are returning to source. In modern culture, that's not quite so readily accepted. Usually, old people are considered to be useless. And he asked the question, why is that? Because in old age, the emphasis shifts from doing to being. And being isn't really recognized in our culture because nobody knows what to do with it, right? So we all know people who have had very disruptive things happen to them. We just had a dear friend injured seriously in an automobile accident. And many people with COVID-19 have not recovered fully and now find themselves disabled. And yet you find about these people an opening and a sweetness. And we all know the blind seer and the wounded healer. We have plenty of experiences with that. And he says, when the ego is no longer identified with the return movement in a person's life, old age or approaching death becomes what it is meant to be, an opening into the realm of spirit. So that's one pathway. And then there's another pathway that is open to us now because of where we stand in the movement of creation and in the overall awakening of a larger portion of humanity. And that is that as the new consciousness is beginning to emerge on the planet, an increasing number of people no longer need to be shaken into awakening, but rather they embrace the awakening process voluntarily, even while they're still engaged in their outward cycle of growth and expansion. And without the impairment of the dysfunction of the ego, our intelligence comes into full alignment with the outgoing cycle of universal intelligence and its impulse to create. So this is kind of an interesting proposition that through our will and our willingness that we can join with life in our awakened purpose to bring more consciousness to the planet. And there are a couple ways in which that happens. And this is what he has to say about consciousness. Consciousness is already conscious. It is the unmanifested and the eternal. The universe, however, is only gradually becoming conscious. Consciousness itself is timeless and therefore does not evolve. But when consciousness becomes the manifested universe, it appears to be subject to time and to undergo an evolutionary process. No human mind is capable of comprehending fully the reason for this process, but we can glimpse it within ourselves and become a conscious participant. And then he says that form, the body-mind, and formlessness interpenetrate. The unmanifested flows from this dimension as awareness, inner space, and presence. And then through the human form that becomes conscious, it thus fulfills its destiny. The human form was created for this higher purpose, and millions of other forms prepared the way for it. So this is our whole purpose in life, is to become conscious. And we've seen glimpses of awakening at prior times in our lives, but maybe never felt the impetus of the awakening that is now here on the planet. And he says that here on Earth, the human ego represents the final stage of universal sleep, the identification of consciousness with form. It was a necessary stage in the evolution of consciousness, but now we are in a new era. He says that awakened doing is the outer aspect of the next stage of the evolution of consciousness on our planet. The closer we get to the end of our present evolutionary stage, the more dysfunctional the ego becomes, in the same way that a caterpillar becomes dysfunctional before it transforms into a butterfly. But the new consciousness is arising even as the old dissolves. So what we have is a lot of turmoil on planet Earth as this transformation is taking place. We have, you know, here in America, we have a lot of political and social turmoil, and we also have adjusting to a pandemic as everyone else has done. And so there are many reactions to that. But he says that we're in a momentous event in the evolution of human consciousness that they won't talk about on the news tonight. It's simply this, that on our planet and perhaps simultaneously in many other parts of the galaxy and beyond, consciousness is awaking from the dream of form. And this doesn't mean that the whole world will dissolve, but certainly certain species may. And it may be that now consciousness can begin to create form without losing itself in it. And so awakened doing is the alignment of your outer purpose, that is what you do, with your inner purpose, which is awakening and staying awake. And so he says that there are three ways or modalities of awakened doing. They are acceptance, enjoyment, and enthusiasm. And if you are not in the state of either acceptance, enjoyment, or enthusiasm, look closely and you'll find that you're creating suffering for yourself and others. Whatever you can't enjoy doing, you can at least accept. And by voluntarily accepting that this is what I have to do in this moment in order for things to be better, or that life requires me to do now, and I thus say yes to it, I do it willingly. So that's what he means by acceptance. The next phase, enjoyment, is the peace that comes with surrendered action that turns into a sense of aliveness when you actually enjoy what you're doing. So the enjoyment gives you, in the present moment, instead of past and future, the focal point of your life, the ability to enjoy what you do in any given moment, being in the now. So there is nothing but this present moment, living in either acceptance or enjoyment, or the third modality, which is enthusiasm. And the word enthusiasm means inspired by a god. And when we feel enthusiasm for something, the universe and all its beings are behind us in this creation of whatever manifestation we want to make and that we feel enthusiasm for. So suddenly one day you wake up and you know what your outer purpose is. You have a great vision, a goal, and from then on you work toward implementing that goal. And we know that's happened for many of us here. Enthusiasm means there is deep enjoyment in what you do, plus the added element of the goal or vision that you work toward. Unlike stress, enthusiasm has a high energy frequency and so resonates with the creative power of the universe. And when we are enthusiastic, enthusiasm cannot coexist with the ego. It is purely a gift from the gods. So he says, instead of seeing yourself as a famous actor and writer and so on, see yourself as inspiring countless people with your work and enriching their lives. Feel how that activity enriches or deepens not only your own life, but that of countless others. Feel yourself being an opening through which energy flows from the unmanifested source of all life through you for the benefit of all. Jesus gave the key to the creative use of mind and to the conscious manifestation of form when he said, "Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received, and it will be yours." Whatever you ask in prayer, Believe that you have received and it will be yours. And I think, you know, there are many times when that has happened, only we haven't recognized it. And that is the way that we do manifest. So then he talks about another group of people who are not necessarily the big doers, not necessarily the ones who create from vision. These he calls the frequency holders. Others, after the natural expansion that comes with growing up has run its course, lead an outwardly unremarkable, seemingly more passive, and relatively uneventful existence. So what happens is these are the people who chop wood and carry water and aren't creating anything particularly extraordinary in life. They are here to generate consciousness through their activities of daily life, through their simple interactions with others, as well as through just being. So nothing large needs to be done. They endow what looks to be insignificant with profound meaning. And their task is to bring spacious stillness into the world by being absolutely present in whatever they do. There is consciousness and thus quality in what they do, even the simplest task. Their purpose is to do everything in a sacred manner. And as each human being is an integral part of the collective human consciousness, they affect the world much more deeply than is visible on the surface of their lives. So, there are the frequency holders, and blessed are they. What is it that they say in the Bible, the meek shall inherit the earth? And the word meek doesn't mean retreating or shy. It means humble. And so those who serve by standing and waiting or being quiet or waiting to see what life presents are also important players in the development and perpetuation of consciousness on the planet. He says that the new earth is no utopia. The biblical prophet wrote, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Tala says, "The foundation for a new earth is a new heaven, the awakened consciousness. The earth, external reality, is only its outer reflection. Nothing is going to make us free, because only the present moment can make us free. That realization is the awakening. A new heaven and a new earth are arising within you at this moment. And if they are not arising at this moment, they are no more than a thought in your head and therefore not arising at all." What Jesus did say is heaven is right here in the midst of you. The meek are those who have awakened to their essential true nature as consciousness and recognize that essence in all others, all life forms. They live in the surrendered state and so feel their oneness with the whole and the source. They embody the awakened consciousness that is changing all aspects of life on our planet, including nature, because on Earth, life is inseparable from the human consciousness that perceives and interacts with it. That is the sense in which the meek will inherit the Earth. A new species is arising on the planet. It is arising now, and you are it. So it pays to read the last chapter in a book.